This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
How crazy is it that Joe Buck is a John Elway? You know he was drunk.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Coming up, is it done? And it's an example of what you should be thinking about when it comes to our own team. That is on the way in less than 15 minutes. But let's talk about our Falcons, guys, because a variety of coaches spoke to the media yesterday. We played a lot of the Zach Robinson, our offensive coordinator, for you. Jeff Ulbrich apologizing, obviously, and hopefully turning the page and wanting to move on after the team was fined. But there is a guy that I want you to hear from. And, Mike, we're talking about the development of our young quarterback. He's not a rookie, but it's going to be his rookie season because he only played a few games last year. Even though we got a sense of what he's going to look like, I don't know, you know, if there's the angst of oh, is he going to be able to get this done? I truly feel like Michael Penix is ready for this moment. But I'm not the only one. DJ Williams is the quarterback's coach for the Falcons, and TJ Yates is the passing game coordinator. Now, TJ's been here a while, but Mike, he spoke yesterday and was talking about how those three games for Michael Penix last year are going to help him.
If he was going into the offseason and his first ever start was going to be week one of this season, there'd obviously be a little bit more angst, a little bit more uncertainty of what he can do, what he can provide, and all that stuff. But I think the three-game sample size when he got in those games and started was enough for everybody to see his talent, his ability to do anything he wants with the football in his hand, you know, touch any part of the field with his arm strength. And, you know, we'll be able to get creative and, you know, do different things with him going forward because, you know, that's why we loved him coming out of Washington was what he could do with his arm strength and how much he can do from inside the pocket.
Mike, two moments, right?
Right.
For me, maybe for you too, stand out. The throw to Kyle Pitts in the Commanders game and the throw that you talked about the other day where they missed it and then went back to it with Drake London.
Yeah, Drake London was D'd up by the corner for the Panthers and remember they were jawing after the play and then he comes back in the huddle. We were joking around yesterday. It's almost like any given Sunday. I can beat this jump! Give me the rock. Let's do it. Run it again. And they do. And they get the touchdown. And I know you and I was texting you watching the game at Mercedes-Benz. I'm like, this is the crap that I used to miss. Why couldn't Julio and Matt do this?
Never.
Why couldn't Julio go, I'm open. Give me the rock. Do it again. You know, not that Julio would ever talk like that, but if he ever spoke alone. But, I mean, you know, Sanu would say it like that.
He would. He would. Yeah.
Too tall. Too fast. Can't be stopped. But I love that about, you know, the immediately seeing that chemistry, getting two of the big playmakers involved with Pitts. And that's what you got to hope. And this gets us back to, and we'll get a chance to talk to Zach hopefully in the next couple of weeks, is where how you're using Pitts and does it overlap with where Drake is on the field? Because to me, we're not maximizing the talent.
No, bro. And I'm using those throws as examples to say that should get you excited.
Right.
He had enough confidence to throw that thing in the end zone, missed it, and went, we're doing it again. He had the confidence to throw it into it. One of the tightest windows you'll see all season long. Pitts is covered, guys. There's a guy on his back in that Commanders game. And if he doesn't put it right where he can get it, it's either incomplete or picked off. And it's those throws that you go, all right, I'm going to have a lot of confidence, which is what T.J. Yates is talking about. Yates also talked about Michael Penix's biggest challenge heading into year two.
You know, there's always going to be situations that you can't cover in practice, situations that are never going to be able to be mimicked until you get into real live game situations and real live bullets and all that stuff. So there's going to, you know, there's always a part of the maturation process at any time when you're a quarterback, whether you're in, you know, year 13 or year two or whatever it is. So just the more game experience that he gets, the more coverages he sees, the more defensive coordinators and schemes and all these things that he goes against, he's only going to continue to grow every single time he steps up there on the field, whether that's in practice or in games. So, you know, the learning process for a quarterback, I don't think is ever done. You know, Tom Brady did it into year 50 or whatever, however many years he played, he was still learning every single time he stepped out there on the field. So, you know, it's just going to be another part of Mike's, you know, maturation process in the quarterback game.
I mean, the guy showed poise, and it's funny. You and I both read Rick Stroud's book. Rick's going to be on the show, right, coming up?
Tomorrow.
And from the Tampa Bay Times, who wrote the book with Tom Moore, the longtime assistant coach who coached Tom Brady with the Bucs, coached Peyton Manning, coached Bradshaw with the Steelers, and talking about, like, the good ones always want to be, you know, every day they're working and working and they're asking more questions and trying to get better. I just went back and looked at that Commanders game. Guys, national TV, Sunday night, throws a pick. I mean, bad, in the middle of the field. And, I mean, just Mooney, remember Mooney does falls down or
that's
whatever.
Right.
Bad pick. The Commanders go down the field and score. He comes right back with a 70-yard scoring drive with, yes, a bunch of big throws.
Big.
That's poise. You know, how many guys we've seen rookies just, blah, you know, they would just completely spit the bit.
Well, and that was the Sunday night. Obviously, they flexed that game. But it was also that moment, Mike, where you go, man, we got to score here. This might get out of hand.
It could be 14-0 before,
right,
you know it. Right.
And he did. So have a lot of confidence in knowing that about our quarterback. Not telling he's Hall of Fame, but he's going to be really good. And I think everybody knows after those three games of a sample size that that's what we're probably looking at. As far as the draft is concerned, guys, Xavier Watts, Mike, is considered the biggest steal of day two, according to our friends at PFF. They love this pick. And I said this at the end of the show yesterday as we were clearing our throat. 13 interceptions the last two seasons. One career touchdown allowed in 1,147 snaps. One touchdown allowed? Right. 33.9 passer rating allowed in two seasons. You weren't throwing against this dude. And if you were, he was picking it off. He wins the Nagurski Award, Mike, and he's an All-American. All right. of that stuff tells you he can play at a very high level. And the thing about it is, everybody was like, when this pick happened, if you weren't watching the draft, and I don't know if you were, everybody, depends on where you're watching. NFL Network guys are going crazy because they knew, they were like, oh, that's a good pick. When right. you hear them react that way, like, oh, okay, well, that's one reaction. When all the guys on the set start going, whoo, yeah, that's really good, they know. And that was the reaction to Xavier Watts.
And so, you know, how did he get to us? I don't know. I mean,
Mike, he should have been taken in the second round.
But that's why it's so funny. I had these guys who said this on Monday's show, because can't believe we took – forget about, guys, if we don't use the fifth round pick, somebody's going to, the NFL's going to take it away from us anyway for something stupid we did. Right? I mean, so who cares anyway? We've survived without fifth round picks. It's kind of our thing with the Falcons. We give them away one way or the other. The NFL takes it for something stupid we did, or we give them away. But they saw that there was going to be a run on defensive backs, and this guy is unbelievable. And that's why we moved up from 101 to get him.
Right.
From where we were selecting. That was the pick that we got in the trade, and that's why we moved up.
By the way, it's interesting when we start looking at the draft, and Mike and I talked about this as well, guys. Coming up, we're going to talk about what happened to one of the storied franchises and how it should be a learning lesson for our team. We're going to get into that, and also what dad now won't be attending his son's games. Mike, we said that if you're grading this draft and you're telling us that the Falcons get an A+, what does that mean? Like, you know, right. This is why we're reluctant to come in here and tell you, oh, yeah, I like what we did. But if I'm going to tell you it's an A+, then many of you are going to have the expectation when the season rolls around, Deuce Bell, y'all said A+, that these guys are going to be all pros. I can't tell you that. But I do like the way they addressed all of the needs. And for me, that's enough. If they didn't do it, and this is why people complained last year, they felt like we didn't need a quarterback because we had gotten one in free agency. So you say, what are we doing? That's a questionable decision. Right. There was nothing questionable about this draft that the Falcons had.
Look, everybody out there is going off the same sheet music, right? Here's what ESPN had. Here's what this guy had. Here's what the PFF. So everybody's got the consensus. You know, I saw Pete Prisco. He's got us right in the middle of the pack.
Yes.
I mean, okay, B minus, whatever. Again, it's the linchpin or the crucial point of this, the focal point is Pierce. If Pierce Jr. balls out, has a major contribution these first 2 years, then it's validated. That's the risk. Jalen Walker is a slam dunk. Xavier Watts is a slam dunk. The moving part that we don't know about is Pierce.
They really like Billy Bowman, too. But here's what's funny. So day one, the controversy is, should we have given up what we gave up for Pierce? Day two, it's we got the biggest steal in day two, which is Xavier Watts. That is what we're talking about with the Falcons, and that's what makes it so interesting. The Pierce thing, we will see. Mike, real quick, I just wanted to bring this up because you've been talking about it. All right, I just want to give you sizes. I don't know if it matters because, again, they haven't made enough plays. Mm-hmm. But these guys up front, I was just looking to say, all right, what's our size? These guys that are going to play inside. I'm not talking about the Leonard Floyds. Floyd's not a small guy, by the way. Leonard Floyd is 6'3", 250.
Right.
But Zach inside, right, we're talking about the guys, Taquan Graham. All these guys are 6'5", 6'4", 6'5", 300 pounds.
Right.
Rook is 6'4", 300 pounds. I don't know if we talk about that enough to just say, when we say, are we big enough on the front?
Mm-hmm.
I think we're big enough. Do we have enough playmaking is the question for me.
Right.
But I'm looking at all these guys. They're 6'4", 6'5", 300-plus pounds. There's no reason if you're talking about rotating these guys. And we're not talking about the edge because we're saying we're going to get better on the edge. What about in the middle? And I said to Mike, some of the guys that played on the edge last year, I think they'll be better in the middle, and they're better suited for it.
Right. I mean, Zach Harris, as we said, he's always had the size element. Maybe, you know, let him rotate inside. I know that, you know, we have high expectations, and everyone right now is going to, well, how does it all work out? Well, again, there's guys right now like, you know, Caden Ellis, he still blitzes from the linebacker position, but now you got to look at Jalen Walker and feel that Jalen Walker comes in, and he's going to have an opportunity to do everything that Micah Parsons did with the Cowboys.
And cover. If you wanted to. But
right.
I like that Jeff Ulbrich said.
But first things first, he's coming
edge.
In after. He's coming after
That's
you
right.
from the edge.
I love that. Hey, man, when we come back, we've got decisions to make, and let it be a lesson to us. It's Dukes and Bell.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
But you just don't do it by making a trade. Last night, we saw the Los Angeles Lakers bow out of the playoffs again. Second year in a row with LeBron. In the first round, they lose 4-1 to the Minnesota Timberwolves, Anthony Edwards, Atlanta zone. And the T-Wolves are built, Mike, to play so many different ways. And the key to this is their versatility. Guys, we can talk about Trae Young all we want, But at the end of the day, Mike, look at the guys that are around Ant-Man, and who went off last night? Who was the guy that went off for Minnesota last night? Do we have a guy like that, by the way?
Well, I mean, ironically, there was a couple of guys. Rudy Gobert, because J.J. Redick is a nitwit and decided to not have anybody with even remotely, Carl, over 6 feet seven in the paint basically LeBron played center.
That's right.
Basically what it was.
That's right.
For lack of a better word. And it didn't work because Julius Randle and Rudy Gobert were it was like layup drills. But
24 rebounds, Mike, 27 and 24 for Gobert.
They didn't have to shoot threes because they didn't need to. They couldn't anyway. They were terrible. They shot 14.9%, but it didn't matter because they're getting everything they wanted in the paint.
No doubt. And Ant-Man, by the way, terrible shooting night. He was 0-for-11 from three-point land. He didn't make one. And you still beat the Lakers. Here's what I'm getting to. Everybody said once they made the trade for Luka, soft body Luka, this was going to be a championship. And, Mike, the reality is it just doesn't happen that way. The Lakers were flawed in how they were constructed. And so when we talk about our Hawks, man, listen, I know we're going to have some money this offseason. We want to upgrade our roster. But just trading for some random guys, and, Mike, we keep hearing the name, and I don't understand it, Zion Williamson. Why does everybody want Zion and think that that's the answer?
First, let's get back to this ridiculous characterization of me being soft body Luka. First off, I mean, everyone – my body fat ratio is 12%. I'm also why you play rim shot? But fun fact, I'm also 24% nougat.
This is
yesterday I found out from Lakers personnel department they took my uniform to dry cleaners. They said, sorry, we don't do curtains.
Soft body Luka was not a difference maker in this series. Everybody
the other day, I stepped outside of Staples Center wearing my warm-up. Somebody said, taxi!
Gives yellow. Get that yellow. He wasn't a difference maker. And everybody just assumes, like, oh, this is what the star we need to add. Team building, man. And this is what we're talking about. Let this be a lesson. I don't know if this is the end, by the way, for LeBron, Mike. We'll let you hear what he had to say about retirement. But before we get to that, let's celebrate our dude, Dyson Daniels. Guys, he wins the Most Improved Player Award. He should have won Defensive Player of the Year Award.
Right.
He doesn't win that. That goes to Evan Mobley with Cleveland. But here's what Dyson Daniels said about it.
Like, I'm a humble guy, and I don't like to, you know, go at anyone or anything. But, I knew that, you know, I deserve this award the most. You know, I feel like I improved the most this year. And, you know, I feel like my first 2 years, you know, I couldn't really do any worse.
First Hawk to win this award since Allen Henderson did it in 1998.
Wow. No kidding.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah, and if you ever watched Allen Henderson, you knew there was a real low point to come back from.
Dyson Daniels also talking about where he wants to improve guys. And look, he is a building block. He's a part of this equation. But we've got to add the right pieces. And this notion that, oh, just go get a star for Trey. Well, LeBron just got his guy. And it didn't equate to a chip. Here is a Dyson Daniels.
Yeah, I mean, the obvious one is shooting. You know, just being able to become a more consistent shooter, being able to shoot off the dribble, being able to, you know, come off pin downs and make catch and shoot shots. You know, the league's, you know, trending so like towards, you know, everyone having to be able to shoot, to be out there on the floor. So for me, that's a big one, you know, the free throw line. But I think it's the offensive end.
The great Barry a Thief. Talking to the media. We love the guy. I put up some of the press conference. I put the video up there, Mike Bell ATL. But he's great. Now, we got good pieces. You got good bench pieces. Certainly Trey. I mean, like, we can debate what Trey is or isn't, but I think, like anybody else, and you saw it last night. I mean, LeBron and Luka, third seed in the league in the West, could not beat the T-Wolves. And Rudy Gobert is one of the most despised players in the league, and they made this guy look like Bill Russell because the coach had bad strategy. But you've got to have it. We just talked about Bradley Beal and Durant and Phoenix. Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. You got. It's one thing to have two, but you got to be properly constructed. You and I will chop it up because speaking of T-Wolves, there's a couple of dudes I'd be definitely in with. Naz Reid has a player option. Think he stays in Minnesota?
No, I think he opts out because he can get more money.
So let's get him some money right here.
He opts out to get more money.
Let's get him some of Tony Wrestler's money. Let's get some of that Highland. Was it Atlantic? What do we call this thing? The yards across the street. Whatever that thing is called.
Centennial Yards.
Get some of that Centennial Yards loot in his bank account.
Yeah, I like Naz Reid a lot, and you're right. He's a big that can defend and guards, you know, guys that are even smaller than him, but he can also shoot. That you're right. These are the kind of things, though. When I look at Minnesota or I look at OKC, you know, and again, I'm not saying they're going to win the chip, but they're built in a way that you go, all right, they've got all the necessities that you need. And just having two stars, oh, LeBron will score or Luka will score, it's not enough. And I just didn't think, here's the other thing, Luka. I didn't think Luka was in shape, y'all. I don't think he looked like he was in the best shape. At times he was struggling, Mike. And again, with his scoring ability, sometimes we get lost in that. He's a terrible defensive player, which is why Dallas traded him. Now, Nico's going to pay the price for this. And I'm talking about Nico Harrison, the general manager. But, Mike, this is what he talked about. He's like, we're not going to win a championship with this guy leading the way with the way he plays defense. What did you say Luka looked like in the playing defense?
I looked like a highway cone. You would dance around.
What?
I'm just trying to give a metaphor. You're like, you know, barricade on highway. You just swerve around. By the way, I go to Los Angeles Zoo the other day. Hippos were feeding me. Very old jokes, by the way.
They work, Bill.
These jokes are older than Hubie Brown. He's dead now.
But they work.
Anyway. But no, I just, I don't know where this goes, but somebody with the Lakers said, how do you have that conversation? I mean, you're going to see, here's, this is where LeBron needs to be the man.
He does.
Because I was watching Fox Sports this morning, and Nick Wright and these guys are debating, like, well, how much longer is LeBron going to play? He's in the greatest shape of anyone his age has ever been in the NBA. We get that. But how much longer is he going to be able to do it? And you got to say, if you're can LeBron have a conversation that, you know, you couldn't really have face to face with Kevin Love back in the day, right?
No.
When you go, hey man, Luka, we're trying to do something special here. Clock's ticking, meters running for me. I need you to really, and I'll use that phrase the Falcons use: be the best Luka you can be. Get your in shape.
So this is what this is what Kobe used to do. Rest his soul. He would invite guys to come work out with him because he wanted to check how committed you were. And he'd be like, yeah, I'm going to be at the gym. And they say, what time? And Kobe would say, 4 a.m. What time? 4 a.m. And then he'd go back for a second workout, but then he wasn't done. He'd do a third. And if you're able to hang with guys, and my point is, Mike, LeBron needs to do that with Luka. He needs to say, you know what? Come do my regimen. Come hang out with me. Let's do my regimen this offseason. And if he can hang, then you know he's committed to being what he needs to be. But if not, this is going to be the same old deal, man. Right. He's going to be a guy that scores a lot of points, but is never able to take his team and help his team over the top.
As in James Harden.
Correct.
Right. I mean, and that's the thing. Like, I was watching the Magic documentary was on 30 for 30. It was on ESPN today, and how Shaq was, you know, having great times with Penny, but at the end of the day, it was immaturity and selfishness. You get back to, you know, and look, Shaq finally got it together, but it took literally Kobe poking the bear every damn season. Like, Kobe dragged him across the finish line. I'm not trying to, you know, label Shaq because everyone loves Shaqtus. Went to Miami, won a title with Dwayne Wade, and that kind of was further validation. But I just hate the fact, as a professional making that kind of loot, that you can't find motivation to do the one thing you got to do, which is be in shape. And that's going to be dog Luka, man, because you're right. He's going down the hardened highway right now.
He really is. As LeBron, speaking of LeBron, it's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And we will go through some of these free agents over the next few weeks, guys. We got plenty of time to chop this up. I just think Hawks fans, we need to be understanding of it's just not adding a star. And that is kind of where a lot of us, you know, are thinking about, oh, we just need to add this guy. We got to do a great job. First, they got to hire this person, Mike. Whoever this is going to be, what is this? The Hawks are looking for a president of basketball operations.
Right.
Whoever this person is has got to be able to oversee all of this stuff.
Well, the good news, we dodged a bullet if they had Brian Gregory on their short list. A guy that, after flaming out at USF, after flaming out at Georgia Tech, apparently got himself attached to the Phoenix Suns and was doing some kind of player personnel role. He just got the GM job, and people are mystified. I mean, it's the most uncompelling hire for an owner that really seems to be a lost puppy.
He is.
In the Valley of the Sun. Hey, by the way, speaking of lost, he'll have to find something to do for the next couple of weeks. John Halliburton, Tyrese Halliburton's dad, is not going to be attending the team's home and road games for the foreseeable future.
You don't say.
Pacers spokesperson telling ESPN Shams Charania has got that about an hour ago.
All right.
So they didn't say he's banned, but I think maybe you get a timeout.
This is what you'll do.
Yes, this is. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's what he told. That's what he told Giannis. I'm like, really? All right. Let me hear LeBron about retirement real quick as we talk about this. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Is he done?
I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. Something I sit down with my family, my wife, and my support group, and kind of just talk through it and see what happens, and then just have a conversation with myself on how long I want to continue to play. I don't know the answer to that right now, to be honest. So let me see.
I think he still enjoys it.
Yeah, but it's like acting, as we always say, it's like asking an NFL player right after the season ends. You know, your head's not right in the right place to answer that question because you put all the work in, and he's got to put extra work in to keep his body in shape, we just talked about.
It's a lot, man.
To have it come up short. By the way, did you see that roller derby that was the Rockets and the Warriors last night?
It was crazy. That was a crazy game.
I mean, guys headbutting dudes. I mean, Dylan Brooks going, I'll take his thumb out.
That game is, that series has been as chippy as any in the first round.
And if you didn't see it, Steph Curry's got a problem with his thumb on his shooting hand, still finding a way. But Dylan Brooks goes like total WWE heel and basically says, if a man's got a bad ankle, I'll take it out. I'll use any means next. Okay, I made up that last part. But Dylan Brooks, the fake tough guy, trying to, like the Rockets trying to convince themselves, and now the series does go back to Golden State.
Yeah,
where they can wrap it up.
Hey, man, when we come back, he done lost his damn mind. It's just that simple. It's Dukes and Bell. So here's what's funny, man. When we were going through our coaching search after they let Arthur Smith go, the obvious choice for many of you, yes, you driving home, yes, you listening on the Odyssey app, yes, you listening at home on your smart speaker, you on the computer, you wanted Bill Belichick. Don't lie. And you wanted Belichick for, I think, the right reasons. The pedigree, the history of winning and a Super Bowl champion, the most decorated coach, I get it.
Right.
But now as all of this stuff is playing out with this young, attractive girlfriend of his. Because I'm not taking shots at her. I just feel like, Mike, this is the first time we've seen Belichick need someone intervening into his conversations and controlling him in a way that we've never seen.
I mean, basically saying no hard knocks, no extra exposure for the UNC football program. She squashed that. A guy that is the ultimate control freak. So it's almost like, is Belichick just having a joke at all our expenses? Just, he's laughing at us behind closed doors? Or is this really a guy who's lost his way and is like the ultimate mid or late life, in his case, crisis?
I think it's all of the above. I don't think he's laughing at us, because I think this is obviously enough a serious relationship and gotten to the point where she's in the peripheral, Mike, while he's doing interviews. Right. When has that ever happened?
I mean, it's like I said, it's like a bad sitcom or like a bad Lifetime movie.
Yes.
Where, you know, mommy passed and daddy's running around with some young stripper. And now all the kids are worried about losing their inheritance because she's controlling daddy.
The crazy thing is, Mike, today in Guy Talk, if you missed it, rewind and you can hear the full segment. But you mentioned this because now one of her exes is speaking about her, because we're just trying to find out more information, because this looks a little bit weird. And as I've been saying all day, it's awkward. Here's the point, though, guys. For everybody that wanted Belichick here, this is a distraction for him. The season hasn't even started at North Carolina yet, and this is the talk. And you're saying, well, yeah, the season hasn't started. You think this is going to get better? Or you think it's going to get worse?
Right. I think at North Carolina, and there's already been some stuff we talked about. Yesterday has been written in the TV station, but Raleigh was talking about it. There's going to be some boosters going, what have we gotten ourselves into? Mm. This soap opera. They got to issue a press release over the interview on CBS. CBS comes back and, by the way, says there was no ground rules. Nothing was out of bounds. We're going to promote your boring-ass book, but you don't think we're not going to talk about your relationship with a girl 40 years younger?
It's CBS Sunday Morning, Mike. Right. I mean, come on.
Right. And by the way, so we find out that Jordan Hudson's ex-boyfriend is a spry 64 years of age.
Interesting.
The sex pot known as Joshua L. Zuckerman.
Okay. 64.
She got a type.
She's got a type.
No, but that's fine. We were joking around earlier about, you know, you go for the gusto, man. But in this case, Belichick, it pulls into mind just what is going on between his ears. What is Belichick going to accomplish? Who in their right mind thinks Belichick's going to have Carolina doing anything?
Wait a minute. Can I ask you something? She's 24. How old was she when she met this dude?
Well, according to Zuckerman, it was several years ago, and he's 64, so that would be at least 2 to 3. So he would have been.
Was she a teen?
Well, no. Well, let's not get cuckoo, but she would have been 20.
Okay.
And he would be 61.
Okay. All right. I'm just saying.
Like, several as in more than one. Okay. Years
fair
old.
Enough. Fair enough. I'm just like, wow. She's 24. Her name again is Jordan Hudson. And the reason why we're talking about this is it's easy now, as so many of you have had this discussion, right, about whether we got the right coach. And again, Ra is here. We are what we are. We're moving forward. But for everybody that wanted Bill Belichick, I didn't want this. I wouldn't have wanted this. And I didn't think, by the way, the reason why I didn't want him at the time was this illusion that it, just because it worked in New England, it's going to work here. And Mike said it. Who was he bringing with him? Would he have changed his ideas, or would he have been a closed-minded kind of coach, right, who continued to think, this is the way I do it, this is the way I've done it? The great ones always evolve. The problem with Bill is when Brady left, he never evolved.
No, and that was the argument we had. A lot of guys, and there's guys, and this argument is dying hard for some of the audience because Coach Rod didn't distinguish himself because of some of the in-game decisions. I argued with Coach Rod that day after the loss to Washington. I thought that was just inexcusable how we blew the clock management. We were in overtime. We could have won the game before we got overtime. Anyway, getting back to Belichick, I don't know where this would have gone. I know this. He couldn't find a quarterback. And I would think he'd have a pretty good idea of the quarterback when he drafts a quarterback who coaches for, was coached by his best friend in Nick Saban. The Mac Jones thing didn't go anywhere.
No.
His drafts went south, guys. That's what I'm saying. Not everybody's third act is going to be Dan Reeves going to a Super Bowl. I just thought Belichick, I wanted Harbaugh. I wanted something completely out of the norm, something that would shake everything up, but in a good way. Because I think Harbaugh is already doing some good things with the Chargers. I was not interested in aging Bill Belichick and all his cronies who've shown they've lost their fastball.
The thing for me is the facts state exactly what I'm talking about, and that is he's won one playoff game without Brady. In 20 years, without Tom Brady, he won one playoff game. Like, you can talk about without him or with him. So he comes here and what happens? And this is why we're talking about this, because at the time, many of you were so mad at us. Oh, you guys are crazy. He's the right guy. He's the right choice. By the way, Belichick has come out and said it's a false narrative that his girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, was trying to control the interview. Mm-hmm. She's off camera and says, we're not talking about that. That's controlling, Mike.
Yes, I would say that, I mean, by any metric or definition of the word, that's control. So, but as Carl just pointed out, guys, this is the ultimate control freak. That's why I got so mad when the NFL destroyed the evidence from Spygate, because a guy who, let's be honest, Carl, there's nothing that's done there without there's a goal, there's a specific thing you're looking to get out of it. This guy doesn't waste time with his practices or how he organizes his team. So that's, I mean, when you get back to brass tacks, what would he have done here? Yes, he probably would have clock managed better than Coach Rod a couple of games. Don't know what he would have done. Now, if you don't like the general manager would have been out the door because Belichick would have fired everybody. It would have been his way or the highway. And I was not interested in buying into it because I was not impressed by what he'd done the last few years. He lost his game with his drafting.
Here's the other thing.
Not talking about this.
No.
That's not controlling. And then he goes, no. And she goes, no. The old Belichick would have said, sit down. I'm doing an interview. And that would have been it.
Right.
She wouldn't have said anything. And yet, this was her deciding what questions they were going to answer and where the interview was headed. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I want you to listen to our buddy Charles Barkley talk about this. He went on Dan Patrick's show, and he's even concerned about this.
From what I'm hearing, it's starting to be a very slippery slope. And I never talk about people's personal relationship. That's another rule I got. But I will admit, I'm a little concerned with some of the stuff that's going on. I might actually reach out to him and make sure everything's good, but I am concerned from what I'm hearing. It's not a good look right now. I'll admit that.
And he's such a control freak, but he's relinquished control, it feels like. That's what's surprising to me.
Yeah, I have very strict rules on things. Don't ask me no personal questions. Nobody in my family can speak. No, I'm the one who's famous. I'm the one who have to deal with all the crap. No, don't say anything. Because if you say something, it's just going to muddy the water. That's what I call it. If any family members speak out, it's just going to muddy the water.
And that's what's happened here. She has overruled Bill with we're not answering that. And everybody's like, really? That's what's going on? We're not. No. Okay. That's what Charles is talking about. Now, point that we're making is, aren't you glad we didn't have him? Aren't you glad we didn't hire him? After it's all said and done, like where we are right now, and yes, we've had to deal with our own crap. Don't get me wrong. But at the end of the day, Mike, I don't know if we would have been winning more. I don't know if his decision-making would have been that much better. And now you're dealing with something completely out of the realm, which is not allowing him to focus on football, which he was so great at. Yeah,
like I said, guys, we all accept that Bill Belichick is the greatest, one of the greatest, if not, you know, you could argue who you want to put him up against, Lombardi, you know, Bill Walsh, Chuck Knoll, if he's not the number one, he's 1B, whatever. Some guys say he's hands down the greatest. But he's in a strange friggin' place in his life right now. This is stuff that is just at the bare, if you strip it down to the bare, to the floor, to the studs, this is something you never would have seen any time in his life, ever. that's out there. And it's front and center. So that's why you got North Carolina folks going, what the hell did we get ourselves into?
Didn't they put out a statement too?
Yeah, they had to issue a statement about the TV interview. About, so think about, I said this to close the show yesterday with Clear Your Throat. Imagine if George, if Kirby got a divorce and is running around with a chick who's like 18, and then UGA's got to, yeah, Josh Brooks, you know, Josh Brooks has to issue a statement and saying, well, regarding Kirby's interview and why his girlfriend stopped the interview.
It's weird.
I mean, it's like, it's the craziest damn thing.
Yeah, it would never. That wouldn't fly. And by the way, I don't think this is going to fly. Mike, you hired him because of what he did. It's about what he's going to do. And that's really the question. And I don't know if he's going to do enough, right? It's a nice, it's supposed to feel good for North Carolina fans to be like, oh, yeah. Like Falcon fans wanted to, we wanted to feel good that we got the best guy. I don't know if this is going to work, man.
Yeah.
Look, I don't know if this is going to work.
I mean, I know that there's no way of knowing how he would have drafted, what his philosophy would have been. Would Kirk Cousins have been on his radar? Would he have decided, I'm going to build this team through the draft? You know, because as we said, now you could also argue, you know, truth be told, there were a lot of folks at Flower Bancher and Arthur Banks, you know, circle that said, well, if we bring this guy in here, we probably don't have a job. But if we do have a job, it's very marginalized. So Arthur got some advice. I think it was at the end of the day, and we've tried to get this out of Arthur, but maybe just a heart-to-heart with Bob Kraft about how toxic it got in the end between Belichick and him.
Well, I'm
and maybe Belichick, I don't know, the wheels have come. I don't know if the wheel, I don't know. All I know is here's where he was, and now at age 73, he's doing some crazy-ass stuff.
Yeah, I've stated to you in this show that the second interview went astray. And when that happened, everybody in the room went, okay, this is not happening. And part of that was, okay, his demands. The first meeting is always nice, right? It's like the first date. Oh, what do you do? What do you do? Oh, what do you like? What do you like? Oh, it's so good to finally get a chance to sit down with you. Second time they're meeting, he's like, I'm trying to lay down the law here. This is what I'm going to need. This is what I'm going to want. And everybody in the room's looking around. I'm telling you, this is what happened. Mm. And I said it when it happened. And then I said he's not going to be hired. So however it played out, and I'm not telling you that the conversations with the owner of New England didn't help Arthur get to the process of where he needed to be. But also, Mike, when you're in the room and you're saying, this is what he's going to be. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And everybody's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Because what do we hear? Whether we like it or not, what do we hear, Flyer Branch? Collaboration.
Right.
Collaborative. We always hear. You got a guy sitting there in the room telling, I'll be handling that now. No, yeah. We wouldn't need this.
Yeah, there's no collaboration. Hey, look, and guys, sometimes in football, having a benevolent dictator works, a despot that gets the job done because there is no committee. There is none of the collaboration, which had us vexed between what Dimitroff and Quinn were doing, to your point, but how we made decisions. Was it Arthur Smith wagging the tail, wagging the dog to go get Pitts, or how these decisions were made around our first picks? But it's just, he's not the guy. You weren't getting Bill Belichick 2005. Okay,
you
were getting this version,
that's right,
which isn't the same guy. And that's why the only argument against my argument is how Dan Reeves came in here and changed the culture for the Falcons in a very short period of time.
It's crazy. All right, we'll keep an eye out. Coming up, Chris has got the night show for you. Tomorrow, by the way, Atlanta United, we're going to be out at the training grounds. Not that you guys can come. We're just telling you we're going to be there because the media game's going on. So we'll be having a lot of fun. Mike Johnson from the Morning Shift is also going to be participating along with Abe Gordon. So we'll find out how well those guys end up playing and participating. But we got a big show set for you as well. As Mike mentioned, Stroud's going to join us. We're going to go around our division, all right, starting tomorrow and even in the next week, talking to the guys that cover the teams in our division to figure out what did they make of their drafts and how much did they improve. Listen, I still think Tampa's the team to beat. Mike, they shouldn't have won the division this year. But all of those guys are coming back, and I think they had a really good draft. Rick Stroud's going to stop by tomorrow to talk about it. Steve Coonan's going to join us. We got a full show for you and a few other guests, football guests as well, tomorrow on the show.
Hey, real quick, thanks to my buddy Billy. He's always listening, watching,
judging.
Sits up in 342, and he said, I've heard you mention this, Mike. You got to remind yourself, when Dan Reeves came in here for his third act, in other words, he'd already coached in Denver, coached with the Giants, he was 54.
Got a lot younger.
That's a big difference, man.
Younger.
That's 20 years younger than where Belichick is, which people forget. You know, Dan Reeves always seemed like that fatherly kind of dude. He was only in his mid-50s when he coached the Falcons in 97.
So what you're saying was, or is, he wasn't stuck in his ways.
Correct.
That's the difference.
Dan Reeves had, let's be honest, guys, the innovative, he saw Mike Vick and said, I need some of that, and let's go get it.
Which is that's what you have to do, Mike.
Thinking outside the box.
Correct.
Right.
That evolving. All right, Big O, let's get out of here. And clear our throat. Hey, Big O, thank you so much, and good luck to you and your wife. We know you guys are close in the process. You scared, by the way? You a little bit scared?
No, actually, I'm gonna tell you, this is my last time I'm going to see you guys probably until I'm back from paternity. So
okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then vasectomy.
I like how you threw that in.
Very, very subtly there, Mike. Yes.
I like how you threw that in. Congrats. We know. We'll wait to hear all the wonderful news. But, man, 92.9 a game. Babies is everywhere.
Yeah.
Huh? All right, man. Tell your lovely wife we love her. Day-Day, great job executive producing. Day-Day will be out there with us tomorrow as well at the Atlanta United Training Grounds. 2 o'clock, man. Make sure you are here. You do not want to miss this show. Mike Bell, we got to get out of the way, man. Clear your throat.
Hey, man. I got some horses for you because I'm going down to Miami for the Grand Prix. Kentucky Derby, the Run for the Roses, Carl, is coming up Saturday.
Yes.
Let me give you some horses. Let's go with 5-1, Sovereignty. Now, Sovereignty, by the way, won down at Gulfstream in the Fountain of Youth. So you're looking for horses that won. I always give you two favorites, Carl, and I give you a long shot. I'll give you Journalism. Journalism won the Santa Anita Derby out in California, which is pretty tight. And if you want to look for a long shot with some good odds, with some good pedigree, the Sons of American Pharaoh, 2015 Triple Crown winner.
Yes.
You got Luxor Cafe at 15-1, and you got Publisher at 20-1 that are both in this race. So I go for two long shots, or one long shot and then two steadies, and go get yourself that trifecta. Box it, Carl. Uncle Mike says box it and win the loot.
They're off. Can't wait Saturday. Hey, who are the Hawks' top guys to try to come and change or at least give more advice to the owner as far as this organization is concerned? We continue to hear Bob Myers, but Tim Connelly, guys, is a guy to keep your eye on. He's with the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Uh-huh.
They just got a new ownership group that includes A-Rod.
Ew.
They're hoping to sign him to a contract extension, but Mike, he may not vibe with the new ownership and may be looking to go somewhere else. Ooh. If you want to look at the T-Wolves and how they were built, you're looking at Tim Connelly, and you're looking at smart drafting and decision-making. I'm just putting it out there. Don't know if he'll get the job, but there's a bunch of guys that should be seriously considered. He's one of them. Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
You don't?
Your daughter just got back from spring break with her new boyfriend, Marv Levy.